Supervisors, March 5th, 2019. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have one.
Department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We have the ballots for the Burlington School District's special election, so absentee voting is available. It will begin today, and the last thing that they can vote, since they aren't opening their polls till noon, everybody, you can vote absentee here at the courthouse in person the same day as the election up until 11 a.m. And then that's the cutoff time, and then after that is when you have to go to the polls. So anyway, we'll have absentee voting here at the courthouse through April the 2nd at 11 a.m.
Nobody will get that mixed up.
Yeah, hopefully. And then also, if they want to request one be mailed, they have to have the request form into us by 5 p.m. on March the 22nd in order to have one mailed.
Thanks, Terry. Rodney Bleichner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Quick update on the jail control board. Johnson Control is going to be there tomorrow. Their plan is to try and get their system set up and start testing all the doors tomorrow. So if all goes well, then they'll look at switching over the old fire panel to the new one. They kind of got them running in series right now, so they can still use the old control board, but I want to make sure this new one's up and going and checking all the doors before they do the major changeover on the panel. So that's coming along pretty good. Also, if you haven't received one, you probably will be getting one in the mail here pretty quick. Alliant Energy's introduced some rate increases to the Iowa Utilities Board. So it looks like residential, the base rate increase could be up to 24.45%, and the large general service, which we would fall under, is like a 25.29% increase. So they've introduced that to the Iowa Utilities Board. There's like 10 different places where the utilities board are going to have their meetings for public input, and one of those places is going to be at SEC on May 22nd at 11:30. So if anybody's interested in going to that, that would be a good place to go and talk to the Iowa Utilities Board about the proposed increase. There will be a there'll be an interim rate starting April 1st. 2019, there'll be a 5.5% increase, and then depending on what the utilities board approves, the effective date for the main increase or whatever the utilities board approves will be effective January 1st, 2020. Sorry. So that's something to look forward to for everybody. Also, the Des Moines County Building and Security Committee had a meeting in December, and we went over a bunch of the security plan again. We have some changes in there, just some wording changes, so we need to put it on the agenda for next week to get that plan approved again. So just some minor changes.
Can we put it on the agenda for the week after next week? It's going to be pretty busy with with the public hearings.
Okay, so for
the week after 19th.
Okay.
Thank you,
Rod. So I think we pretty much got that all squared away. We just need you guys' final approval for that revision. And also, we're looking at an active killer threat training. Again, here at the courthouse, it'd be in June. We're looking either between June 10th to 12th, kind of depending on when the first responders and all that can kind of schedule it in. But they don't have court those 3 days, so that's what we're looking at. And Gina Hart's also looking at doing a full-scale exercise like they did at SEC a couple years back. They're looking at doing that on June 8th here at the courthouse. That would be on a Saturday. So we're going to see if we can get some volunteers, and they're going to have probably their CERT team and law enforcement and whatnot. They're kind of a big-scale exercise, have it here on that 8th. So.
That's one that the fire department will be involved in also, so they can work together on the situation.
What day is that one, Rodney?
I believe that's June 8th. It's on that Saturday.
Okay.
Other than that, I think that's it.
Sufficiently cheered us up?
Yeah.
Land use. Jared, Zach?
Nothing. Well, things are going pretty well. We've got an item on the agenda today for subdivision. Otherwise, things are going pretty well. I'd say the last couple of weeks probably been a little bit slower, but I assume if we ever get warmer weather, we'll probably see a little more activity, I would assume. And Jared was out last week. We had some zoning permits hanging out there. We had to go and do a site check and check setbacks and things, so Jared got out on Friday when it was a little bit nicer and closed out some of those. So other than that, nothing new to report.
Thank you. Janelle, how are things in the treasurer's office?
Good morning. Keep them busy. Just a reminder that the secondary property taxes are due this month. Those are starting to trickle in. Everybody coming to the door with the payments and mail. Other than that, nothing new to report.
Ken Hyman, coordinator of disability services.
Good morning. Just continuing on with contracting for the region. Tomorrow we've got a management team meeting about the annual service and budget plan that has to be turned in each year. So with all these new services, Ryan's been working on allocating the different amounts for the new services and sending that into the state. So we'll finalize that tomorrow. But otherwise, just keep them busy.
Ryan told an interesting story at the last Zoom meeting. The state's mandated, what, 6 new services or more last year? The crisis services, when we started them before, they were mandated in 2014. They became mandated in fiscal 2015, I believe. So we were already providing those crisis services. And it took until, was it last October, for one of our crisis service providers to get certified by the state. And then it took longer than that, took 6-8 months to be approved by the MCO. So we've been operating it since 2014, and we've yet to receive a Medicaid payment.
Right.
So we're not sure how long it's going to take to roll out 6 new services.
Right.
But apparently that isn't a concern. Colin, how are things in IT?
Going good, keep busy. We finished doing some of the conversion for recorder's documents, so they're using their new Tyler application. We still got to finish up some of the other offices, like auditor and treasurer and that. Other than that, nothing really new to report, so.
Thanks, Colin. Chris Lee, conservation.
Made a quick trip up to Des Moines yesterday. There was a couple bills proposed at the state. House File 542 would basically prohibit public land acquisition across the state by both DNR and counties. Massive turnout of people, private landowners, conservationists. There's people from zoos and parks and cities. It would have made it illegal for cities and counties actually to acquire land for parks, campgrounds, wildlife areas, or anything like that. And so I don't know how many people showed up, but there were several legislators up there that said this is the biggest turnout they've ever seen for subcommittee meetings. Blew the doors off. And so, as we know, there's a lot of support for public lands across the state. And when you come out with legislation that just paints with a broad brush like that, that just essentially eliminates future growth of parks and public spaces, you get something like this. And so it was really neat to see that. If they want to have the discussion about, restricting some of the funding sources or something like that, that's fine, let's have that discussion. But just paint with a broad brush and say we're not going to have any growth in our park system or anything like that anymore, that's not going to fly with Iowans, and we know that. And so that was pretty neat to see. Kind of a big victory for people interested in outdoor recreation and parks and stuff like that. So the House File 542 didn't pass out of subcommittee, but it didn't kill it either. This is final week, so if they don't follow up with it, it's dead. And there was a Senate file that wasn't nearly as broad reaching. All it does is make some changes to the state revolving fund and eliminates the tax credit for conservation land donations. And there was some discussion out of that. They did pass that out of subcommittee basically because they felt three people on a subcommittee ought not to be the ones to make decisions on issues this broad. They wanted the full Natural Resources and Environment Committee to at least be able to hear it. I believe that that committee hearing is scheduled for this afternoon. It is a public meeting, but they're not taking public comment. And so we'll see how that goes, whether that'll actually pass through. It sounded like there was some interest from at least the folks on the subcommittee for making changes or eliminating that restriction or elimination of the tax credit. But it sounds like they do still want to have the conversation on the state revolving fund. And, you know, if we want to have that conversation, that's fine. And so the House file was the big one, and it sounds like that one's just going to kind of die a quiet death this week. So that's a big thing for us. This stuff just came up last week, and in a week's time, you know, people rallied. It was interesting to hear how, you know, people that had been retired out of the conservation industry for, you know, 10, 15 years, nobody had heard from, they're just living the good life down somewhere warm. We're coming out of the woodwork and making phone calls, and I saw some of them showing up to this thing yesterday. So it was pretty neat. So.
Thanks, Chris. Lisa, if you're going to sit directly behind somebody, you're going to have to sit up tall.
I am as tall as I guess.
I apologize. It was not intentional. My talk, and all of a sudden, I saw your shoulder move. Anyway.
This is as tall as I get, unfortunately.
Lisa Shepherd.
Balloon to her car.
Oh, my God.
You're fine.
You're fine. Lisa Shepherd, Des Moines County Attorney.
We are extremely busy. We're still down two attorneys, going to be down another. Obviously, we have a personnel action. Justin Stonerick is leaving our office. He's just decided he's ready to do something besides prosecution, which happens. So we're staying extremely busy trying to keep afloat. Our numbers are staying pretty much the same, if not rising, just a smidge. But we do have some leads on some people who would like to come in and take up some reins on a few things, which will help. Otherwise, yeah, just staying busy. Justin actually is finishing out his last week in our office in a jury trial. Just maybe, I don't know, to reinforce why he's ready to move on. We had a jury trial last week where we got a conviction on a willful injury involving a shooting that happened back in September. So we're plodding along, getting ready to get busy because I know tax appeals will be starting here at the end of the month. So.
Did you get a lot of traffic through in your open house?
We did. I'd say overall probably 35 to 40 law enforcement officers from the various agencies. Good. So it was nice. We got to give them a tour and a cookie and everybody kind of got to know each other. It was amazing the number of people who didn't know some of the attorneys in our office, just simply because for whatever reason they don't have day-to-day interaction. So it was really good for everyone to kind of get to know each other, put names with faces, and I thought it was quite successful.
Did you get the cookies?
Sorry, I missed it.
Lisa, again, I apologize. It was not intentional. Brian,
it's a curse of being short. I'm used to it.
Brian, Secondary Road.
Good morning. I'd echo Chris a little bit. There's a couple of files up at the House and the Senate that we're paying attention to. One of them has to do with logging trucks, of all things, and there's a bill up there that would allow the state to approve overweight permits for logging operations on county roads, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But apparently, I'm assuming there's a legislator that's involved in logging. That's the only thing I would guess. So anyway, so we're paying attention to that. And then, of course, there's that issue with the bridges I talked to you about a couple months ago.
Is there any movement on that?
It doesn't sound like there's any movement to get rid of it. It does sound like there is a bill. I don't know much more about it other than it would narrow the scope of those heavier loads to just paved roads and not on all unpaved roads. So that would be an improvement. Actually, I wouldn't have a major issue with that, to be honest with you. That doesn't bother me. Most of the quarries, if they're built in an appropriate location, are built on paved roads, and So, and that's their access to most interstates and such, so.
So that weight limit applies mostly to gravel roads?
Well, the
Well, I know it applies, but I mean, it would have its biggest effect on the
When it goes into effect, which is, I believe, July 1st, if nothing else is done, it applies countywide, which would open up that extra, that take away the reduced weight limit and just have it full throttle all the way across the county. But apparently the bill that's been introduced would only apply the new weight limits to the paved roads, so.
Would that affect any, how many, I know it affects two bridges on Mediapolis Road.
Yeah, and I think, I didn't have time, I just read that update yesterday. I believe those are the only two on paved roads off the top of my head that were immediately concerning. And we've already started the process and with the consultant to address those, so. I think those are actually two of them that we thought we could use some additional signing and possibly get by for another year or two before having to post them. So, but it would be a lot better for the ag industry if that's how that went, because then on the gravel roads, those postings won't occur, which is some of our bigger issues that were going to be posted. So, time will tell. We'll see what happens. And we do, the County Engineers Association has a legislative liaison. One of the county engineers draws a short straw, I guess, and he spends a lot of his time this time of year up in Des Moines, and he posts updates on a county website. So I try to follow that as often as I can. So just a couple things that are out there on the legislative side. Want to mention, it doesn't feel like that time of year, but sometime late here this March, I'll get with you guys maybe after the meeting, get on your calendar. We'll need to do a construction program tour. I'll have a draft put together, and then sometime there in early April we'll do a Tuesday and do a approval of our construction program for upcoming. So just start, I guess you're always working on that year round kind of sort of, but as far as putting the paperwork together and everything, just started that process this week. So I'll get with you guys on calendars for that. And this is kind of an interesting one. I got a call from a gentleman that's new with ITC, and typically the only time you get calls from utilities when somebody's new and they don't realize yet that they can just ignore you. He's new with ITC and wanted to reach out, which I'm thrilled with, to let law enforcement and the board and us know that they're gonna have a, next Monday, so this the 11th, they're going to start an operation. ITC is the major transmission lines in the county. So, I can't tell you exactly where all they run, but I believe if you go north, kind of north northeast of town, there's a number of those are ITC lines, and some of that's very rough terrain, and they have some tree clearing apparently that is they can't get to with regular or standard tree clearing equipment. So they're going to start a helicopter tree trimming operation on Monday.
Really?
I've never seen it. It piques my interest as much as I think it would pique anybody else's. And I don't have the exact locations. They were going to try to have a press release to me today. And I don't have that. They're going to come Friday and meet with us. So, like I said, I'm guessing somewhere up in the vicinity of Irish. I believe there's a line that runs up through there that is ITC. And I also know they have one that runs up 99 because I've dealt with it on construction projects. But there's not a lot of trees when you go east of 99. So anyway, I thought I told him that I would bring it up at the board meeting so that the media was aware of it and that the law enforcement was aware of it. And that way, if anybody gets any calls, it's not a county project. A lot of it's probably not even on county right away, so it's really not anything we have any involvement with, but it obviously could catch some people's attention, so.
Yeah. I've used helicopters, but it was in plant or construction purposes, and they have to have a designated clear flight path, whether that applies out somewhere or not, that if they're moving anything, if they're carrying something, you just don't take that over a road or another building, unless that building, the path through it's been evacuated. They launched a helicopter and Cleveland or something a number of years ago. They think the guy had a heart attack. All of a sudden, he just went like that down, went down into the plant.
I would imagine it's even more interesting when you're cutting trees around power lines.
So anyway, I don't know, it'd be interesting to...
it's my thought, too.
To do that, but they pretty much have to have, you know, it's gonna start here, and it comes over here and unload it, or wherever it does, and you just have to file over somebody's house or a busy highway, or...
I don't...
It'll be interesting to see how they do that.
I don't know how one ventures into the helicopter tree cutting area of business, but it's got to be a relative specialty, I guess, so. I was going to say, I was wondering how low they could lower Bob, and how much gas he's got in the chainsaw.
It'll be an expensive way to remove limbs, I can assure you that.
I don't know if you're grounded when you're hanging in midair or not.
Maybe I look like Bucky Beaver.
So, anyway, that's going to apparently start Monday, and he just wanted me to pass it on, so I told him I would. And, you know, they're going to come meet with us on Friday. If anything of being new comes out of that, we can pass it on through a press release. I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it. I don't expect a whole lot new. So, it's we'll see.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Chief Deputy Grimshaw, how are things in the Sheriff's Office?
Pretty good. You guys were aware that we made a couple of conditional offers to a couple of candidates?
We had a work session last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We've just been busy getting those guys scheduled up with all the testing that's required. So, a lot of that to go through. But other than that, nothing new.
How did the acceptance go?
Pardon?
How did the acceptance go on the offer you made?
Very well. Very well.
We lowered the pay then?
I don't know if that's going to persuade them any further or not. But.
Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. The only thing I have, just wanted to let especially our department heads in the county know, as you know, Tom, we have a program with my office on purchasing AEDs every year. We do like a grant kind of request. We just got a purchase for this year. We purchased them for the Parks Department, the Rexplex, and the golf course. So they have AEDs out at their facilities. So coming up this next year, I would like to see some of the county departments that need AEDs to put in for those, because I'd like to at least flip-flop back and forth. But I want to get the departments that really are public entities that need to have those there. So just kind of wanted to let the department heads know that. The fire department has now went to physio control. We kind of went back and forth for the last 6 months trying to figure out what AEDs work perfect with their system. So it's just plug and play. So they've moved to physio control, so those are the systems that we're going with. They're really nice systems. For example, Rodney, the ones you have here, you have to continually check on. These actually send messages to your cell phones. So if the battery's going low, if somebody's opened it up, if it's being used, anything's going on with it, it actually reports back to you. So really nice systems. So, and that's about all I got.
And when's your next CPR class?
Actually, I just got done doing one for conservation, but I do have one coming up. There's a couple of departments that need to send a few people in. Are you needing a CPR training?
Mine expired in October.
Okay, I will send you a message and have you come with us.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Did I miss anybody? Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none.
I have none. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $250,451.56.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yeah.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have a Class B liquor license for 34 Raceway. I touched base with the sheriffs and said that his office had no concerns.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
We have approval of a Danville law enforcement agreement for fiscal year 1920. We've started Glenn Denny's familiar with this. Are there many changes in this from last year?
Just a very minor decrease. What we do is we build an annual cost for our a deputy on patrol, including vehicles, insurance, wages, and we assess that on the hours that the city's contracted us with, and that's how we come up with the figures. So that's the figures that we've come up with this year.
Okay. Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
We have a resolution and final plat for the Charles Killing subdivision.
Well, we have a minor subdivision located in Yellow Springs Township to the northwest of Mediapolis. The name of the subdivision doesn't really leave much to the imagination as to who the subdivider is, Charles Pilling. So this is on 250th Street, just to the west of Highway 61. It results in the creation of one lot at 1 acre in size. So the situation here is there is an old farmhouse, a single family dwelling that is currently split between two 40-acre parcels from the original land survey. And the situation here is that the, so this is where the subdivider grew up in this house. It used to be the residence of his mother, now deceased, and he is interested in having this property split off from the surrounding farm ground to purchase it for his own residence. And so because his brother had already had a piece of ground on the lower 40 acre split off for his own residence a couple of decades ago, that counted as the one free split, and so that's why this is required to be a subdivision. So in terms of access, this is a landlocked parcel, but there is an existing easement along the driveway that already serves the other residents there. And so the plat includes a reference to that easement, which it shows as 40 feet wide. In terms of comments from department heads and utilities, this one, as you can imagine, was pretty quiet, not much being proposed here. The one notable comment we did receive was from the county sanitarian, who noted that there was no permit on file for a wastewater system on serving the house. However, following discussion between the attorney for the subdivider and the DNR, the subdivider chose to cite an exemption from the state code, specifically that is Iowa Code section 455B17211 in parentheses, which exempts from the time of transfer inspection requirements, exempts from the time of transfer inspection requirement transfers for which consideration is $500 or less. And in this specific instance, that's citing the last will and testament of Mary Alice Pilling, item V, which says, I give an option to my son, Charles Russell Pilling, to purchase my house and surrounding yard area at the time of my death at a purchase price of $100. And so because of that, it's a family transfer of less than $500. They're citing that exemption from the time of transfer inspection. And as a result, the county sanitarian was then signed off on the subdivision in approval. So that, taking care of all that, those comments then, we would then recommend approval of the Charles Pilling subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We'll get these signed back.
Thank you.
Before you do. We have a personnel action to the county attorney's office. We have a resignation of Justin Stonebrook, first assistant county attorney, effective, I think it's March 8th.
Yes.
I can't find it here.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have minutes for the regular meeting, February 26th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Is there any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items. So on the 19th, Rodney's at security policy. Committee report.
I had a conference call with Russ, Deb Reedon, our secretary and bookkeeper. She chose to leave and go up to take care of her mother. Father passed away. Her mother's gone too good of health up in Indianola. So we hired another lady to take her place effective yesterday. Till the end of war, after we have our meeting next week.
I didn't have any. I had no meetings. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up, give your name and address. If you'd like to, you can go to the lectern, but it's not required. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. See no one rise. With an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.